Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Let's pause for a moment and let's pray for the guys who are in Mexico on a mission trip. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that they arrived safely, and we just ask you now to just begin to move in their lives mightily in a strong way, in a the way of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that they will be cultivating the area, Lord, for more of your presence being manifested. Lord, as they serve from their heart, you see their service to you. You see their worship to you. I pray, God, that this trip will be a very fruitful one for the kingdom of God. Keep them safe and keep them strong in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Charlie, we love you, brother. We really do. We love you. You're a good, good guy. Great guy. Well, in the time we have left, I'm not going to keep you past two, so I'm not going to keep you long, I hope, but I want you to turn to Psalm 100. That's a psalm that you see a lot, read a lot sometimes, but it holds a secret. This psalm holds a secret of you and I going into deeper realms of glory. If you want to go, we'll go together. Thank you, Martha. I'm ready, honey. I'm ready. Let's go. So we want to jump into this and see, but I also want you to go to Isaiah 43, I think it is. Isaiah 43. Yes, Isaiah 43. So go there and put your Bible marker there, your ribbon or whatever it is. And if you're using a Bible app, there you go. If you're using a Bible app, forget the ribbon. So it'll be fine. All my Bibles have ribbons, so it's like this. So anyway, I use these. Let's go here. Psalm 100. I read out of the New American Standard. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Well, believe it or not, this psalm will help you and I understand how to go into the deeper realms of glory of who he is. And how many of you know God doesn't give us like laws to do, but he gives us a pattern and a way to follow. Right? Because he has a pattern. He has ways. There's ways of the Lord that we need to understand, the ways of the God, right? And we're going to learn that together, hopefully a few minutes this morning. And this hit thing here about shout joyfully. I think one version says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And he told all ye lands, all the people, make a joy. But it's this song, this word means to shout with a triumphant shout. In other words, we win. Yeah, yeah, we win. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a shout. Well, you know, we're in church. Oh, really? We're not in church. We are church. We are church. So you're in church everywhere you go. We're in church. We are the church. And he says, hey, shout joyfully before the Lord. And he says, all the earth, just shout joyfully before the Lord. Make the joyful noise unto him. Then it says, serve the Lord with gladness. This thing about serving is like pitch a party. You really don't get it. He said, this word, when it's not ascribed to the Lord, means to work. Everybody say the word work. Don't be allergic to it. It's fine. It's work. God wants us to work. God wants us to be fruitful in our labor. Amen. And he wants us to be able to put our faith to work. But when this is ascribed to the Lord, this word serve means to worship through works. It means to worship him. So he says, I want you to get used to shouting. I want you to get used to vocally raising your voice in honor of him. Now, if you won't do it here, you're probably not going to do it out there. So this is where we get to practice. So the next time you get over to the bread section, whoo, praise God, look at this bread. But they're going to think we're crazy. They already do. Serve the Lord with gladness. This thing about gladness is saying, okay, this is like having a festival. It really is. It's like a feast. It's like a festival. And he said, worship him in a way that it's all for his honor. Everything we do is all for his honor. It's all for his glory. It's all for the building of his kingdom. It's all for him. Amen. It's not for your pastor. It's not for your elders. It's not for your brother. Not for your sister. It's all for him. Now, we all benefit from it, but it's all for him. But he says in this thing, he said, I want you to get used, because he's inviting the whole earth to enter into something that they're not used to. He's inviting all of the earth to be able to lift their voices high for him. To be able to shout. I mean, you know, I've seen some of you at ball games. Yep. Yep. And you wasn't too hesitant to, anyway. I remember going to a football game before, high school football game, several times, but one of my traits was this. Every time I went to a ball game, we always went with a couple, went with different people, and every time I went to a ball game, and I'd wait for the first penalty, and usually it's within the first few minutes. I mean, you know, about 5 minutes, there's usually a penalty. You know, so here's a penalty, and I stand up. This is what I used to do. I stand up, and I say, they've been doing it all night. Game wasn't about 2 minutes old. First flag. People will say, I said, I've been watching them. They've been doing it all night. You know, but anyway. I have fun. I really do. Come before him with joyful singing. If you don't have joyful singing, I don't know if the invitation still stands. No, he says, come before me with joyful singing. In other words, you're happy about the songs that you're singing. You're happy about the words that you're singing. You're happy. You have a joy about you. It doesn't mean you have talent. Really, it doesn't. It didn't say, because if he said, come before me with talented singing, that left William out. Where is William? Is he here today? He's not even, see, he didn't even get to benefit from that. He's one of our elders. I pick on him. He went and had surgery done on his neck. And he said, doctor, after I have this surgery, will I be able to sing? He said, can you sing now? He said, no. He said, well, you won't be able to sing afterwards either. Come before him with joyful singing. See, this is a time of being refreshed in God and being able to be able to lift your voice, to shout about who he is and about what he's done. And to be able to come before him, to be able to worship him in a way that is unhindered. We got close to that today. Unhindered. It's not wasn't full, but it's coming. You know, I'm glad that we able to, you know, the Bible says, you know, the temple is filled with his glory. The train, the glory came in, and the train filled the temple. You know, have you ever seen a bride with the train? Yes? Train, is it the train with the dress? I tell you what. Let her get in just a few feet and start closing the door when that train is about 30 feet long. Why? She hasn't fully entered yet. Ooh. What's that mean? We try to cut a lot of things off sometimes. And then we don't respect what's going on. And we'll start trampling on the very train that's entering. And all he wants us to do is, be right still. Understand the presence of God. Understand that when the true presence of God begins to manifest itself, you won't have to promote people getting on their face. It'll happen when it's manifested in such a way. We're coming to that. The church is going to enter that. Because it's not going to matter to us anymore what other people, who the person standing beside me or behind me or in front of me, it's not going to matter to us anymore what they think. Right now, it matters too much. We want our Christian walk to be sanitized. We want it to be cleaned in such a way that we won't be talked about. But listen, we're a people that the world talks about. No matter how sanitized you try to make it, we're a people that we get talked about all the time, right? But he's preparing his people with this psalm, and he says, listen, I want you to understand this. I want you to know that the Lord himself is your God, and he is God. The Lord himself is God. That's what you need to know. It is he who made you and not we ourselves. How many of you, I heard a man say one time, he said, well, I'm a self-made man. And I unfortunately said, you look it. He said, what? I said, you look like a self-made man. Well, what does that mean? I said, I don't see much of God going on in your life. And he's a Christian. He had a lot of money. Are you hearing me? Yes. See, God wants us to be able to represent. He does not want a negative people representing him. He does not want people that are grumbling all the time, murmuring all the time, complaining all the time to represent him. That'll keep you in the desert a long time, away from your true provisions. He goes, why are we saying that? Because he goes on and says this. He says, these first three, he said, that's just something that I'm leading you into, but here's how you enter. Are you wanting to know how to enter? Here's how you enter. See, in verse 4, he gets to the place, here's how you enter. What is it? Watch this. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. This is how you enter. This thing about the gates is this: the gates represent his authority. That's the reason he said, hey, the church that I'm building, the gates of hell, the authority of hell, will not be able to withstand the church that I'm building. You're a threat to hell itself. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, this church is going to follow me. This church is going to do what I do. This church is going to do more than I've done, greater works than I've done. This church is going to, and the gates of hell will not be able to resist the very onslaught that this church is bringing. This is him. Amen. This is him. This is the church. I want to be the church. I don't want to be the church that a denomination built. I'm not against denominations. I just don't want to be just a church that a denomination built. I want to be the church that Jesus builds. If that denomination is following Jesus in the building, then we're in good shape. If not, then we're not in good shape. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. See, you're going a little bit deeper, and then you get into praise. And then as you do that, he begins to say that you can worship. You worship him. You're able to shout. You're able to come before him with a joyful song instead of gloom, despair, and agony on me. For the Lord is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting. I'm reminded of Don Potter's song, his loving kindness is everlasting. And he just goes on and on and on singing, his loving kindness is everlasting. just singing out of his heart. He said, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to just this generation. No, to all generations. People are worried about the millennials. God's not. His faithfulness is to that generation and even the ones after that. And his faithfulness is to the generation that you're in. So he sets this thing, whole thing up, and he begins to say, okay, I want you to be able to understand that. I want you to have the freedom. I'm inviting you to shout. I'm inviting you to lift your voice. Lift your voice higher than normal talking. Like this. Wow! Did you see that? Listen, I wanted to say that this morning in Sunday school. I heard OA talk about somebody, he was at a place, and this little man was just dancing up and down, going across the aisle, just a dancing. Imagine that. And in a church service. OA sort of got an attitude about this man dancing, and he what is it, man? Why don't he just sit down? Just, you know, it's going on inside him. He's not saying anything outside. And then, was it the pastor? It was what? Well, whoever it was. Yeah. Told him, he said, let me tell you about this man. This man was crippled, right, with arthritis. Crippled with arthritis. I don't know how bad. I've never seen a man. But here, OA was taught a very valuable lesson. He's a good learner. That's the reason he knows so much. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Bad learners don't know much. They just think they know much. But a quick learner, when God began to teach you, but he said, no, he was crippled with arthritis. And every time he gets to worship, he's up, he's dancing. Wow, my, changed the whole perspective. That came out during the dance class. You need to come and hear it. I'll tell you, it's a powerful teaching. It really is. That's the reason you don't need to be negative and begin to despise dancing. Till we've had people to leave here because of the dancers. I've been told that. I mean, they came to me and said, well, I'd like to stay, but I can't. And I said, well, why is that? He said, I don't like the dancers. I just don't think it's God. Well, did you strike out dance every time it was in the Bible? Did you cut it out or mark through it? What did you do with that? I don't think that's for today. And I said, well, we're going to continue to dance. And I thank God for our dancers. I truly do. People will leave church because all the different, all kind of different reasons. I need to teach a class on how to leave the church right. And some, listen, you think I'm messing with it. I'm not really messing with it. It's like, you know, they got a lot of reasons why I'm leaving the church. Some of them just leave. We need to put their names or faces on milk bottles and say, have you seen so-and-so? We hadn't seen them in church in 5 months. I'm messing with you. Had people to come up and say, look, Pastor, we won't be coming back anymore. I said, I hate to hear that. Why? Why is that? You're getting too black. No, I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but we're about to get blacker. Redder. More yellow. Pink. Who said that? Now listen. If you want a reason, you can find a reason. Right? But that's our problem. We're too focused on the negative and can't find the positive. And that will lead you to a place where you're ungrateful. Let me tell you something. I heard the baby. Let me tell you something. Maybe we'll inject this right now since I heard the baby. Teach your children how to be thankful for what they have, not what they don't have. Teach them gratitude. Teach them to say thank you. Teach them to have a grateful heart toward the Lord. Teach them, and if you do that, they will less likely ever becoming a prodigal. I'm telling you the truth. Root of the prodigal's problem was ungratefulness. What did it lead him to? It led him to the pig pen, being ungrateful. No gratitude for what he had. I want what I want, and I want it now. That was the prodigal. Led him down a path that God didn't send him. Ungratefulness will lead you down a path that God never sent you to go on. How you enter is with thanksgiving. You are thankful. We give thanksgiving for what he has done. We notice the awesome wonders and the works of God. And when you begin to notice the awesome things of God that he's done, if you really see it for what it really is, you can't help but give thanks. People go to church all the time and say, I didn't particularly care for all that today. Well, guess what? We didn't really do it for you. We didn't call you and say, what would you like today? How long would you like for it to be? How long was the song service? What songs would you want? What was the message that you'd like for us to teach? How much would you like to give in the offering? It ain't about you. Never has been. It ain't about me. It's all about him. Say, it's all about him. Say it again. It's all about Jesus. Say it again. One more time. It's all about him. It's not about us. It's about him. We just get the benefit of what he gives us as we honor him and give him thanks. Thanksgiving comes when we begin to consider and think about his awesome deeds. What has he done? Ponder for a moment. What has he done for you? Think about it. What has he done for you? There ought to be a rise of great big thank you. How many of you have been healed in here? How many? Just look across. You know, listen. God is the one that does everything. He is the awesome being. He is the awesome, almighty, loving Father. Give him thanks. You know, he fed 5,000 people. 5,000 people, and the next day, people are grumbling, ungrateful, unthankful. And it gets over on the disciples, his own disciples. They're ungrateful, and that's over in John 6. They're ungrateful, and they begin to grumble. And the Bible says that they began to argue among themselves. Be ungrateful. Arguments will happen. Just start being unthankful and ungrateful. Arguments will happen. It caused them to see, it caused them not to see miracles. Do you hear that? It caused them not to see miracles. An ungrateful heart causes you not to see miracles. It'll come back. Just don't worry about it. You know why? Unthankful, ungrateful. The Bible says that in that same passage, the Bible says that it caused them to start grumbling. Boy, I got quiet in here. An ungrateful spirit, an ungrateful attitude will cause you to start grumbling. Why? I don't like that. I just think, you know, what are you up to, God? And also says in that passage, it will cause you to withdraw from following God. The Bible says that many of them, and he's talking about his disciples. He said his disciples, many of them didn't follow him anymore. Why? Ungrateful. The source of it was ungrateful. Parents, teach your children gratitude. Teach them to be grateful. Teach them to be thankful. And then that will lead you to a place of praise. You praise him in response to his nature. You thank him in response to what he's done. You pray, he said, enter his courts with praise. You praise him in response to his nature. Who he is. You thank him for what he's done. If you don't recognize the deeds of God, you will not thank him. And if you do not thank him, you'll not praise him. You'll go through the motions, but your heart will not be connected. That's the reason God said, there is a worship going on that is not of God. It's void. That's when Jesus said, you do this with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Now, you can go through the motions about anywhere and do what they do, but your heart not being engaged in it. See, you cannot enter into the deeper glory of God with a 10-minute thank you. This thing has to be a way of life. It's not some, check. I said thank you today to check. I said thank you to one person, that's enough. Praise is in accordance to his nature. Who he is. I know it's 12. I want to read you he doesn't just heal, he's the healer. He healed, I give him thanks for what he's done. The healer, I praise him for who he is. You got me. I give him thanks for what he's done and I praise him for who he is, and that will lead me to worship. We worship because of his presence. Every time you begin to see the worship, it's because he's present. We worship him. We worship him because of his presence. We thank him because of what he's done. We praise him for who he is. What? Listen to this. Y'all help me. He doesn't deliver. He doesn't just deliver. He is the deliverer. He doesn't just provide. He is the provider. He doesn't just save, he is the savior. He doesn't just help, he is the helper. He doesn't just sustain, he is the sustainer. He doesn't just reveal, he is the revelation. He doesn't just give life, he is my life. He doesn't just give peace, he is the Prince of Peace. He doesn't just give a word, he is the word. He doesn't just keep you, he is the keeper. He doesn't just open the windows of heaven. He is the door. He doesn't just give you victory. He is the victory. He doesn't just counsel you. He is a wonderful counselor. He doesn't just give you truth. He doesn't just give you truth. He is the truth. He doesn't just show you the way. He is the way. He doesn't just give you love. He is love. He doesn't just give you hope. He is our hope. He doesn't just give you light. He is our light. He doesn't just shepherd his people. He is the good shepherd. He doesn't just protect you. He is the protector. He doesn't just give you faith. He is the author and the finisher. He is the perfecter of your faith. He's much more. He's much more. He doesn't just give you a king. He is the King of Kings. He doesn't just give you glory, he is your glory. He doesn't just give you redemption, he is your redeemer. Oh. He doesn't just give you righteousness, he is your righteousness. He doesn't just give you holiness, he is your holiness. He doesn't just give you freedom, he is your freedom. I That's who he is. You praise him for who he is. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my sustainer. Come on, praise him. He is worth praising. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then once you start, I mean, that's just scratching the surface. That's the reason he says, enter in with thanksgiving. Well, you're going to have to focus on what he's done. Then go on deeper. Go on deeper into the courts of where, just go on deeper into, but give him praise in the courts. And that's going to lead you to the depths of glory and worship that you and I have never experienced. Y'all think again before you send me on vacation. When you look at all the history of what he's done, you can't help but thank him. When you look at all the stuff of who he is, you can't help but praise him. And then when his presence, that's what leads you in. That's what leads you into the deeper glory than we've ever seen before. But this thing with grumbling, this thing with an attitude of ungratefulness, I'm telling you, it will rob you of reaching your destiny. Why? Because if I fail to be grateful, I will oppose God's will. It will lead me to a path that I'm not walking with him. I'm like the worshipers. I'm doing all this, but my heart is far from him. And Jesus recognized it. So when you begin to look deep into his nature of some of the things that we just mentioned, you can't help but praise him. And that will lead you to a worship that it doesn't matter who's looking. It doesn't matter who's around. I'm telling you, there's going to be coming a day when their worship is going to spill over into the streets. It's going into the stores. And we think, well, now it's going to look awkward. No, it's going to happen at a time when the world is going to be desperately looking for God. Why aren't you worried like the rest of us? I got the Prince of Peace. Why aren't you full of anxiety like the rest of us? I know my Redeemer lives. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's what the world's looking for. The world's looking for people who are a genuine article of being a Christian. The world is trying to redefine Christianity. They won't redefine mine. The canvas says 80% of the United States is Christian. Then they ask another question. How many of you born again? 40% of that 80% says I'm born again. See, they're redefining Christianity. 80% is Christian. You can be Christian without all this other stuff. That's what the world tells you. No. People say, you know, it's just a lot of ways to Jesus, to heaven. No. I love people. I'm not going to get political on you, but I am going to tell you something. I love people, and I think everybody has an opportunity to come into this nation the right way. Somebody wanted to argue me with that. You know, we just need to just look. And I said, listen, you know not what you're not, you don't know what you're saying. Why? It's been redefined for you. All of this has been redefined. I finally told this person. I said, "Well, okay. How many ways do you think you're gonna get into heaven?" He said, "One." And I said, "How are you gonna get there?" He said, "Through Jesus." And I said, "The Bible says He's the door. Is that correct? There ain't but one door. And that's the only way you're gonna get in. You can't bombard it. You won't be able to bombard heaven and say, 'We didn't go through Jesus, but we won't in.'" That ain't happening. Like I said, I'm not getting political on you, but I'm telling you, you need to be careful with how things are twisted. You with me? You better vote. You better vote Tuesday. I'm not telling you who to vote for. That is between you and God. You ought to serve God and serve your country and make sure you vote. I had a man tell me one time at an election, he said, "I don't like any of them, I ain't voting." I said, "Well, then don't you ever say a word to me about what's going on that you don't like. You lost your right to say something to me. I ain't listening." "Well, Pastor, that's not Christian." Oh, yeah, it is. It's real, real Christian. Jesus said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear," and he just walked off. I love Jesus. I really do. Oh, we got to go. Isaiah 43, and then we'll close. See, we need to have a larger consciousness of God. Sometimes we have more of a consciousness of how big our problems are, and we lose the consciousness of how big our God is. Isaiah 43, "But now thus saith the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Say, "I'm His." "You are mine." And after He says, "You are mine," watch this. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather them from the west. And I will say to the north, give them up. And I will say to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, here it comes, and whom I have created for my glory." I have created. See, the deeper glory that is inside Psalm 100, he said, "I've created you for this. I've created you for my glory." And then he goes on and says, "Whom I have formed, even whom I have made." You're created for the deep things of God. Don't stay in the shallow water. Put grumbling aside. Put negativity aside. Now, I'm not saying you can't discuss something that's wrong, but discuss something that's wrong to find the solution and the resolution. Are you hearing me? Grumbling and complaining and negativity will send you down a path that God's not taking you. And you'll wind up being somewhat of a prodigal. You'll have to look and say, "I've got to get back home. Because this place that I'm at is not where God wants me to be." And he said this thing. He said, here's what he's saying now. If you've got some that's wandered, if you've got some that's in a different place, he said, "I'm going to go to the north, south, and east, and west, and I'm going to say, turn them loose. Come on. You ought to latch hold of that, and you ought to call every child that you got, every relative that you got that's outside of the will of God, you ought to call them home using this passage. Don't hold them back any longer. Turn them loose. Bring them in. Why? Because you're grateful to God. You're not a complainer. See, we get on this thing about complaining and grumbling, and the next thing you know, we're in bad shape. But we are not of that bunch. Because right now we can repent. Right where we are and say, yeah, I'm Francis Frangipane said it this way, I'm declaring war on grumbling in my life. And that's what we need to do. We need to be a grateful people, thankful people. If you want to, listen, he says, enter my gates with thanksgiving and my courts with praise. What he said, when you come in with thanksgiving, you get the right to speak. Some of you can't reach your kids and can't reach your family. You know why? You've been too negative about them. Be grateful for them. Tell them how grateful you are. But you don't know what, not talking about what they've done, who they are. Be grateful for who they are. Give them thanks. I'm glad you're in my life. That will open the door for you to have the right to speak into it. Amen. Okay, stand to your feet. Move your consciousness from how big this problem is or how what's going on, and move your consciousness to be grateful. And then you start praising him, and then you start worshiping in a way that everything else that looks like it's just fully attacking you, it begins to lose its significance. Why? Yeah, I'm going through a hard time. Yeah, I'm going through a difficult time. But God said he was with me. And God said he's going to bring me through it. And I thank him for it because he is my deliverer. And I praise him for it. And I worship him. But the heat is hot. So? Isn't God good? Oh, he's good. Okay, did you learn anything today? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. I love you. I really do. I love you, really. Father, thank you for your greatness. Thank you for all the deeds that you've done. We give you thanks. Lord, with this season of Thanksgiving coming up, God, help us to understand a pathway that you've made, that it just becomes our lifestyle. To thank you first, then praise you, and then worship you in the depths of your glory that we have been created for. If you need to repent, just do it right where you are. That means to turn from where you're going and turn in the opposite direction and go to him. Set this new course of being thankful and grateful. Let it be a project that you and your family do. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I need a couple of altar team people here. If you need prayer, I want you to come down. If there's someone here that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I want you to come forward and we'll have prayer with you, not just for you, but we'll have prayer with you. God bless you. Volunteers, we're going to honor and celebrate you tonight. So if you signed up to be at our meal, please be here. We're going to start at 6 o'clock, and we're going to say a great big thank you for all of our workers. God bless you. You're at liberty to go. God bless you. If you need prayer, I want you to step down.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.